So I wanted to begin with kind of a strange question for all of us, but have you ever had a panic attack? And maybe you've had one, but you didn't know that's what they were called. It's like if you've ever felt your heart pounding, you know, like you couldn't calm down, you couldn't figure out why, or you start shaking and sweating for no reason. Or if you've ever wondered whether you've lost touch with reality and you might not be able to find your way back, that's a panic attack. And I wonder if that is what the disciples were having that night, Easter night, the night we just read about. So they're locked in the house for fear of the people around them, and their hearts are pounding louder and louder, so loud that they're afraid their hearts are going to give them away. You stop breathing when you're in the grip of panic. I mean, you try to take a breath because you want to calm down. You know that's supposed to calm you down, but it doesn't calm you down. Instead, your chest keeps going up and down faster and faster, and your thoughts are spiraling, 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 tangling, fixating, racing. And just when the disciples think they might die, Jesus comes in. And he says, breathe. Jesus comes back and he breathes on his friends. Of all the things that he could do after his death, the first thing he does is give them breath. In the midst of their panic and shortness of breath, he breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive. The word for breath is the same word for wind, is the same word for spirit, is the same word for life. So Jesus brings new life. He breathes new life into his friends. But one of them isn't there. Thomas. He was missing. Maybe he had gone off to be alone and grieve. Maybe he had tried to visit Jesus' grave, which was now swarmed with guards and police to block access. Maybe a few years back, when Thomas had first decided to follow Jesus, maybe he had left behind house, farm, field, father, mother, sister, brothers, maybe even left behind a wife. So maybe the first thing he did after Jesus died was start making his way back to his old life, all the things he had left behind. Maybe that's why he wasn't with the disciples that night. He was trying to pick up his old life, trying to pick up where he left off. But whatever the reason, he wasn't there with his friends huddled in that house. He was somewhere else, going his own way, but something stopped him. Something made him turn back. He was a friend of Jesus. So he went to find the other friends of Jesus. And finally, he arrived at the house where they usually met. They were all there, and they said, we have seen the Lord. Almost like you just missed him. Have you ever had people tell you they have seen the Lord? And you've been kind of skeptical. Like you're in line at Chick-fil-A, and someone hands you a tract and says, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? And, you know, inside you're thinking, I'm not really buying what you're selling. Even those who've maybe gone to a Christian concert where there's been an altar call, or youth on pilgrimage, youth at the part where everyone's flocking to the front of the auditorium, maybe some of them hung back and thought, yeah, I'm not really feeling it. If so, if that's you, then I can relate. I grew up going to church and loving God. I sat in the pews like all of you are sitting now. But when people tried to talk to me about being born again or having that one special moment where you give your heart to Jesus and you never forget it for the rest of your life, I just thought, no, mm-mm. I mean, that's great for you, but that hasn't happened to me. And I resisted that. I think part of my resistance was because of how often those conversations, they turn into who gets it and who doesn't get it. You know, who's in, who's out. You ever notice that? It devolves into this question of who's said the magic words, had the magic moment, and who is still unsaved. So the disciples told Thomas, Jesus came back. It was incredible. He came back and he breathed on us and he told us we have the power to forgive sins. Seriously, he came back from the dead. He showed us his hands and side. And as exciting as that was, that created a problem. Because now there is an us and a them. They've had the experience. Thomas has not. They've seen and believed. Thomas has not. There's the people handing out tracts and those hanging back. So this story is for all you Thomases out there. This is for every person who feels a little funny during Sunday school or life group when they get asked to lead a devotion and they have no idea how. This is for every person who says the Apostles' Creed, you know, the virgin birth, he ascended into heaven, all the while you're thinking, okay. This is for every person who wonders what really happened on Easter morning. Every person who bows their head in prayer and thinks, I wish I could feel something. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came back. He didn't have what the others had. He just had to take his friend's word for it. And I've had friends like that. Back when I was 22, 23, they tried to tell me that I was missing something when it came to Jesus. I loved God. I went to church. I prayed. But they said I was still missing something. So I said, you know what? Yeah, I don't quite get it. And I want to. So back during that time, during an Ash Wednesday worship service, I wrote on a piece of paper, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. And I said this to Jesus, which was weird because whenever I prayed to God. It felt funny to talk directly to Jesus. I once read a story about why that kind of prayer can be so hard. In this story, there's a description of a woman who insists on praying that way, praying directly to Jesus. And the woman herself will admit how corny it sounds. But here's how she's described. She always says her prayers to Jesus. And she says it's important to call him that, not Christ or Lord or anything, because Jesus is the part of his name that embarrasses people to death, especially when they use it alone. She says underneath that embarrassment is the part of us that's revolted by him. So you say Jesus to get that part out in the open where he can get at it. Isn't that so true? But that's exactly how I felt. I felt squeamish and corny, but I wanted to try it. Jesus, I said, I want to know you. And I said, I have a deadline. Preferably, I want to know you by Easter. I seriously laid that out. I was hoping that Jesus would reveal himself to me, would come to me the way he had come to so many people. And I gave him 6 weeks. I mean, talk about a type A way to pray. I had some conditions that I was hoping he would meet. And Thomas had some conditions he was hoping he would meet. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, he said, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. He couldn't take people's word for it anymore. And that wasn't enough. He needed more. So unless I see, I will not believe. I had written a prayer on a slip of paper on Ash Wednesday night. Jesus, I want to know you. And that prayer started to take shape over those 6 weeks. It did. I started to get to know him. And what was strange was that it didn't feel like the opening of a door. It felt like stumbling on a door that had been open all along. It was just like he was right there. And sometimes it felt like we were sitting silently, side by side, like facing a campfire. You know, it was just this presence right there. So that was going great. But around the same time, I was starting to get panic attacks. And I'd never had them before. I felt like my brain was doing things I couldn't control. You ever get stuck in a thought pattern like that where it's just habitual? And you don't want to keep thinking the same thoughts, but there they come again. There they come again. There they come again. These dark thoughts like bats flitting through your head. I was getting closer with Jesus, but this was getting worse. Until one day, it was the day after Palm Sunday, so Monday of Holy Week, 6 days before the deadline I gave Jesus. And here comes a panic attack, worse than any of the others. It was like darkness closing in, despair, fear, hopelessness about the future, this feeling of abandonment, you know, just this terror overwhelming me. And right in the middle of it, Jesus entered. He breathed on me in the midst of my pounding heart, and I felt love. I felt goodness. I felt like he was real, like everything was true. It really was true. And I was so stunned. I was laughing and crying at the same time because in my lowest moment, he breathed new life into me. And I just thought, he is God. My Lord and my God. It really did feel like being born again, I'm telling you, and all those cliches that I hate, that is what it felt like. So that was 8 years ago, March 29th. And I could never pick up my old life again. Thomas said, unless I see, I will not believe. And Jesus could have said, now, Thomas, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He could have said, now, Thomas, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He could have said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He could have said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He could have said any of that. He said none of that. He didn't say just trust. He didn't say just pray. He said, touch me. You want to touch me? Touch me. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. You want to believe? This is how I'll come. If you want to know him, know him. If you want to know him in 6 weeks, fine. He'll show up. I'm not trying to give anyone here a formula. And I definitely don't want to be like now I get it, and I hope you can get it too. I'm just here to say, this is what happened to me. I needed Jesus to come, and he came. And it just might happen to you. Ask him to come. Dare him to. And then watch out. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we will try to say your name, even though it feels a little funny. Jesus, we will try to ask you to come, even though we have some doubts. Jesus, would you please enter into our hearts in all of those dark and anxious places? Would you show up over the pounding of our heart and breathe on us? We will try to believe that you are Lord and you are God. And so, God, we ask that you would open our hearts in the days to come, that we might be made new through you. Amen.